One power. That's what we celebrate. That's what we're all about here at Centers for Spiritual Living. I'd like to welcome all of you to this wonderful time together. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate in your life during this time of where you have many choices about where to go and how to do this. And I am very grateful that you choose to be here with us. We are, such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. And we celebrate this today. We celebrate this every day as we recognize that we have such great individual and group freedom to do that, to live and to choose and to decide how we live. Because all spirit wants, all God wants is the opportunity to be alive, to have life through us. So we get a lot of choice, a lot of freedom in that. And a lot of that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you're with us for the first time, I would let you know that we are a community that is all about celebrating individuals and celebrating groups. We celebrate you, whoever you are, because we know who you are. We know you're an expression of the divine. Therefore, we can joyfully and freely honor and celebrate you, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever ethnic group you belong to, or sexual orientation, or any of those names that we add to things to kind of sort and work our way through life. However, all of it is an expression of the infinite. It's an expression of God. And so we celebrate you for it. We're very happy you're here. We continue on by knowing that in this time, we declare what we believe. We declare what we teach so that you have a better idea of what that is. And also so we have a chance to speak it in our own words, in our own mind, and decide how much of this do I really believe? How much of it serves me? How much does not? So join me if you will. I'll be reading it out loud. I invite you to read it also out loud since you're all muted, and because it's chaos otherwise, as we share together the Declaration of Principles. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Ernest Holmes wrote those statements along with several more just on a whim when he was asked, what do you believe? He was getting ready for a talk show where he was speaking on the radio, and he sat down and jotted it in and jotted it out, and there it was. So congratulations to him and to us, because these have been our guiding principles now for quite a long time. At this point in our time together, it is time for our opening, or our spiritual mind treatment, which is our form of affirmative prayer. Each week we do this. We have this presented by one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who is trained in prayer, is trained in spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, who is licensed and who has proven that they not only can do this work for themselves, but they can support you and help you in your own growth and your own desires. So I invite you to consider calling them or using them or being in touch with them. Today we have one of our co-leads for the practitioners and the person who puts together our music each week. We're hugely grateful for all that he does and gets and contributes. And we're thrilled that he can be with us today, because he's often having to work at this time. So without me, anything else, here is the wonderful Doug Moody.
Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be here and see you all. I've missed you so much. As Reverend Bob mentioned, I have work conflicts that often prevent me from joining you on Sunday mornings, because I have to be at work at 9:30, even on a Sunday. But just recently, I've convinced my managers to give me the second Sundays. I can be here with you and not have to go into work until after 12 noon. So I'm very appreciative and grateful for that opportunity to be with you, at least every once in a while. I am so excited about the theme of today's talk. none are free until all are free. And I think this is such a timely message with everything that we're experiencing right now in our country. You know, over 135,000 deaths from the COVID-19 pandemic. And this pandemic still raging out of control, and the, you know, racial injustice and the demonstrations that we're seeing. And there's so many things that seem to be appearing to want to divide us. And I think that today's theme is so important, because in fact, it's in these times that we need to pull together, and we need to remember our oneness, and the oneness that's the whole inherent nature of the universe. And I happened to come across a paragraph from Ernest Holmes from a lecture, I guess, he gave at the Wiltern Theater in 1937. And I thought it spoke very clearly and would provide maybe an introduction to Dr. Bob Dean's talk this morning, because I know he's going to have a lot more wonderful things to say and enlighten us with on this. But in this talk I'm going to share with you, Ernest Holmes said very briefly, "True freedom, true liberty, has something cosmic behind it. If the time has come that modern science has proved that we cannot move a piece of paper without changing the balance of the entire physical universe, if we have come to the place where we know that the stuff of which our physical bodies are made is the same stuff of which the planets are made, if we have come to the place where such a profound unity is maintained that physicists believe there is no such thing as disunity in the physical world, then we can easily see what the great spiritual leaders of the ages have meant when they told us of that greater unity in which we all live and move and have our being, and that our idea of freedom itself is tied up with the true concept of the unity of good. If our nature is one, if God is one, and we know that God must be one, for the universe cannot be divided against itself, then we are all tied into an indivisible unity. We shall have to get back to this unity to find the meaning of freedom. Nothing in any part of this cosmic whole could be considered freedom that would destroy the liberty of some other part of it. That would be self-destruction, would it not? As Jesus pointed out 2,000 years ago, that would be a kingdom divided against itself. The kingdom of God is one kingdom, so we know that true liberty must spring from true unity. We are bound to the supreme unity. We are tied into an immutable law of irrevocable cause and effect. That is unity moving into action. Cause and effect is something that happens as the result of the use of unity. Consequently, we are one even while we are many. And since each one of us is a part of the whole, if we seek to destroy each other, we only ultimately hurt ourselves. This is the great lesson of life. And it is wonderful, and so it is. And so now I'm going to ask you to join me in affirmative prayer. I'm just going to ask you to relax in your chairs wherever you're sitting and uncross your limbs and get comfortable and take a deep breath and just let everything go and just be focused on right here and right now and know that you're in a safe place. And know this with me. There's only one infinite power, one divine intelligence, one cosmic something that is operating through me and each present, right here, right now, and always. It is always within me and within everyone, because all we have to do is recognize this infinite power and call it forth. We can never be separate from it. It is all one. It is all unity. It is all one universe, one power, all one consciousness. And we have the power to tap into this and use it whenever we recognize its presence in our lives. And we do so right here and now. And knowing this, we become one with all of the divine power in the universe, with all of the divine intelligence. And we celebrate this knowing and claiming today divine love, divine peace, divine understanding, guiding us in each and every step, knowing that we have within us the intelligence and everything we need to bring peace and freedom, not only to our own lives, but to the world. We start with ourselves. We start in the right here and now. We claim this peace, this freedom for ourselves, knowing that it is our ultimate birthright, and it is the ultimate birthright of everyone and every living creature around us. There is enough for everyone to live beautifully and freely in this expansive, infinite universe. There is no lack. There is no limitation. There is no division. Instead, I and each choose to see peace, to see unity, to know that we are all in this together, and that together we make the world a better place for all. I'm so grateful for this teaching and this understanding, for this center which provides divine inspiration and gives me that boost and gives everyone that boost to carry forward, reminding us of our truth. And knowing this, I am grateful for the peace and for the freedom that is in my lives, and that I can remind others is in their lives too. And together, that is the truth and the demonstration we make happen. Knowing this as truth, I release my word into the universal law, knowing it is already done. I am free. And so are you. And it is wonderful. And so it is.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
About my life, it may be a strange surprise to some. I have always thought I wanted what so many want, but it's to a different conclusion that I've come. I see water rushing through an ancient riverbed. I see snowfall floating high up on the hill. I see an eagle soaring to the red horizon. And I know that's how I am meant to live. Oh, I need. I think of my family. This entire precious planet is my home. So let others build their borders, walls, and boundaries. I will fly above them all, even if I must go along.
When I write my book that I've been talking about for the last 50 years, the title of it's going to be Slouching Toward Jerusalem, because I think of Jerusalem as the holy city, the place where all things come to completion and fruition. It's the great city that shows up in the fables or in the stories whenever the end times come and we all move to that next great place. And I'm calling it slouching because I don't walk in a straight line anywhere. I don't do anything straight for that matter. But I don't get there straight, and I don't need to, because all of this whole business of life is about gradually and in various levels and stages unveiling and unfolding the truth of who I am, and this is true for you. I'm just using me as an example, because if I talk about you, you'll get mad. So I'm talking about me. And that is that the truth of who I am, an expression of the infinite, an individual version of the best that God is, to unfold that, unveil that, and bring that forward has taken a lot of work. A lot of opportunities, a lot of decisions and choices to choose freedom instead of slavery, freedom instead of other ways of being, freedom instead of habit and status quo, and on it goes. So I'm slouching towards Jerusalem. I haven't gotten there yet. I don't know that I will this time around, and maybe never. But I'm certainly much closer to Jerusalem than I was before. And I say that as an introduction to say, you know, this nation is a grand experiment in freedom. It's a grand experiment in liberty, in democracy, in a republic form of government, all of those things. And it was started by some very amazing, wonderful, and stuck human beings. They were products of their generation, of their age. They were products of where they lived and how they lived. they were a group of men who started this nation. I'm sure there were women all around them making sure things went the right way, but the men were the ones who got the credit and got to be in charge. So, and with that, they were a mix. They were a mix of amazing idealism and being able to lay out the possibility of what a world could be, what a country could be, if we did not have top-down rule, if people were left free to express themselves without excessive control from anywhere, and if people could be honored for who they truly are. Now, we began this at that time by a group of people who owned slaves, a group of people who had conquered and were still in the process of displacing Indians and Native Americans, who were in the business of taking over from other people, who were in the interest of their own freedom, saw the rest of the world as needing to be controlled and managed. And what we've done since then is progressively and slowly over time expanded our understanding and experience of freedom. We ended slavery, but still had a long way to go in that area. Women got to vote. Well, first of all, non-landowner males got to vote. You know, in the beginning, it was only landowners that could vote. Then males who weren't landowners got to vote. Then women got to vote. And as time has passed, and especially in the last 100 years, we have found whole nother deeper levels of freedom for people of color, for all kinds of color. We found a deeper freedom for gays and lesbians who were really at times persecuted and destroyed for who they were. I mean, we have come so far in growing and developing in our freedoms. And now we live in a time where all people's opinions are up front and out loud, whether we want to hear them or not. And folks who for a while were shut down and didn't have a voice now have a voice again. And it's sometimes an angry voice and sometimes a militant voice. And all of that is in the business, in the mix of exploring and expanding more and more and more of our freedom. Freedom is our birthright. Freedom is who we are. Freedom is what we're created to be. And all of this growth through our governmental and relational and social experiences has been an expression of moving toward that greater freedom of life that is already inherent in every one of us. See, we're all affected by our isms, whatever ism you might have been born into: alcoholism, ageism, sexism, if you were born a female or transgendered or some other version of the ism that was there. Racism. I was born in the South, deep South. Racism had its part in my world, in my life. Still does. All these isms that we're born with, we have to sort through in our own individual lives and decide how much of that ism are we going to give into and allow to limit our freedom, and how much of it are we going to transcend and embrace the spirituality that allows us to go beyond that. We call all of that race consciousness, human race consciousness. It's the consciousness that is the accumulation of all of the beliefs of all time brought together in this grand universal consciousness in which we all live. Now, that's not all of it there is to that consciousness, but it's a significant part of it. And none of us have the ability or the opportunity to be born into anything else. Sorry, guys. We are stuck with it. You know, the Bible says that thing about the sins of the fathers are are given to the children. They're added upon the heads of their children. Well, that's part of what it means. It's also why, however, it's not the whole story. Because the rest of the story is there is a universal, infinite truth and power that is also part of that race consciousness. And that is beyond what has yet been expressed in that race consciousness. So you and I are partially in that world of what we were given, but we are also in that world of possibility and of freedom to choose and go way beyond anything we were given. See, this teaching, the science of mind, is all about freedom. It's all about understanding and knowing better what are the race conscious ideas that are serving the greater truth and which ones are not. Which ones do I want to participate in as in service to truth and which ones do I not? This teaching is about exploring our freedom to do that, our freedom to make those choices, our freedom to go forward in our choices. I appreciated the quote that Doug shared earlier, but here's another one from Ernest Holmes. This is the very beginning of the Science of Mind textbook. And it says this: the divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God ordained. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. All of us instinctively feel this. The truth points to freedom under law. This is the inherent nature of humanity, and forever humanity that is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. We do this, we do well to listen to this inner voice, for it tells us of a life wonderful in its scope, of a love beyond our fondest dreams, and of a freedom which the soul craves. Freedom which the soul craves. One of the most powerful ways to figure out, decide, discover what you really believe, where you are truly free and where you are not, is by the freedom that you allow for other people. Because when we find ourselves in judgment, when we find ourselves in criticism or wanting to limit someone else's voice or someone else's experience or someone else's action, then really, in a world of oneness, as the earlier quote said, we're only limiting ourselves. We're only expressing the limitation that's already present within each of us. So if I want greater freedom in my life, it has to be accompanied by greater freedom for everyone else. Because when I look at others as less than me, whatever the reason, they're not as bright, they don't have as much, all these kinds of crazy things that we use to judge people. They don't know how to drive. That's one of my favorites. I'm working on it. What I'm really saying is that's a limitation that I have that I don't want to look at or that I wish weren't there. Likewise, when I look at another person as being fascinating and interesting and having something to teach me and some new way of expressing life that I haven't seen before or haven't participated in before, I see them as beautiful and creative. I can only see people that way if I can see myself that way. The great teacher Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That was not as much a command as a statement of fact. We can only do unto others what we would have them do to us because that's what we believe we deserve. Our teaching is a teaching not about getting something for nothing, but about getting what we deserve and what we believe in our hearts and souls we deserve. So growth in freedom, growth in getting a greater sense of freedom, growth in having a greater experience of freedom comes on two tracks. both the inner and the outer. The inner is that personal experience of freedom. For much of my life, I thought being free meant I did the opposite of what everybody else thought. Just absolutely had to be the opposite. If they thought we should go right, I wanted to go left. If we thought we should go up, I wanted to go down. If we thought the group wanted to do something, then I had to be an individual and do something different, because that way I knew I was free. Truth was, I wasn't any more free doing that than I would have been anything else. But over time, what I've learned is I have the freedom to choose either to go with the group or not with the group. Freedom to go with a greater sense of love and appreciation or not. See, and in looking at the outward world, we are called to see the good in everything and everyone. Ernest Holmes, in the, I think it's in the textbook, it may be in one of his other writings, talks about we see the other person, whoever the others are, for us, not as other, separate, but as our alter egos. That's really interesting, right? If you think of everyone that you've ever heard of or know of as your alter ego, not as a totally separate being outside of the universal oneness, but an alter ego. Kind of changes how you see people, maybe. Did for me when I first read that. I mean, I think of myself having a lot of alter egos, and some people think agree with me, but the one I'm talking about is that sense that we are all so connected, and everything everyone else is doing or saying or thinking is expressing something back to me about myself. You know, if you want to know what's happening in your life, look outside, because that's where that's the mirror of your individual expression and experience. See, and Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me. The Quran says, if you save one individual person, it's as if you've saved the whole of humanity. We can't separate those from one to the other, because in truth, whatever we're doing inside ourselves about ourselves, we also have the call to participate in on the outside. See, in a world of oneness, my inner life and my outer life are the same. The inner is the outer, and the outer is the inner, and they are intertwined. They're inseparable, which is why I said earlier and would say again, if you wonder how much freedom you have, look how much freedom you're giving to other people. You know, it's been an interesting walk these last few weeks as the world has awakened to the powers and the horrors of racism. As I said, I was born into it. I'd like to say, no, I'm not a racist. I can tell you this, I'm not a conscious racist. I'm not anyone who consciously ever makes the decision to judge another person based on their race. I used to try to say, although I never really believed it, that I was colorblind. Well, that wasn't true. God help us if we become colorblind. Imagine what would be lost in the beauty and the power and the variety. Well, what has been happening in these last few weeks is two things have happened. One, I really dug in on looking at the issue of racism, looking at the other races through the eyes of their beauty and their value and their power. Looking at the huge amount that the whole world culture has gained from African cultures that were far advanced to anything even happening in Europe at one point. When I look at the growth that has gone on, I have no problem honoring that in the Orient. I didn't even know about it in Africa. because I chose not to? Maybe. I just didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. So as I look at freedom, now I begin to look at all of the areas of the world where there's so much value and so much goodness that I didn't know I had blinders for, because they weren't mine. I didn't choose them. They were part of that race consciousness. They were part of that stuff that I took in. And as this is beginning to fall away, I'm beginning to, with ease and courage, be able to say, I'm unpacking, unfolding, and clearing, bringing to the surface to be clear anything in my mind, anything in my behavior that would have limited someone else or attempted to because of their race. It's been a hard choice. It's been a hard lesson. I've danced between guilt and shame. And I've come to the conclusion that we're all in this together. This is not one group or another carrying. Now, granted, some groups have had the power and others have not. But the effect of it is the same for all of us. It has the same kinds of limitations. My life has been limited because of my racial attitude that I didn't even know I had. And as I'm starting to see it, rather than feeling guilty or ashamed, what I'm doing is going, oh my gosh, that's just not true. We say over and over in this teaching that our ideas, our thoughts, our feelings, our negative thinking, all of those things come to the surface to be released. And we are doing that on a grand cultural scale right now. On the outer. And on the inner, that means we each individually have the opportunity to make choices about what do I believe and how am I going to go forward. Is that a thought that's based on something external to what that person really is? We teach in this teaching all the time that our intent and our desire is to see the God in every person we come in contact with. Not just in, but as every person we come in contact. The namaste from the East, Eastern idea. The Western Native American idea of calling everyone your brother or your sister. All of those things have been in our culture all along, the same as and along with the nonsense. And sometimes my heart breaks at how long it's taking us to get from the founding fathers saying that in this time, in this place, founded upon this nation, it's the opportunity for freedom and liberty and justice for all. How long it's taken getting from that to the actual expression of it. But then I also look at my own life and say how long it's taken me to get from some of my declarations and affirmations of life and freedom to the actual expression of them, because it takes a while sometimes to clear up all the nonsense. And we're not just doing this now for individuals. We're doing it for a whole culture. So we've got to bring everyone along. What is the title of the talk? Unless everyone is free, no one is free. Until everyone is free, there's a limit to freedom. So if I'm limited freedom, if I'm experiencing a limitation of my freedom because of my own thinking, I'm adding to the limitation of freedom to the world. Am I doing that because I'm a bad person? No. Am I doing that because I want to hurt anybody else? No. I'm doing it because I just don't know sometimes. What if everybody is really doing the best they can with what they've got and what they were given? Hmm. See, freedom is a quality of God. It's a quality of spirit. It is a given. It's not something to make happen or to create. It's a given. So what we're in the business of is unveiling it, revealing it. We often say in this teaching, you know, it says in the textbook several places, and he talks about it back and forth, that all of the good of God is available to all of us. Prosperity, love, relationships, health, wealth, all of those things are available to us. How much can we have? As much as we can embody, as much as we can bring into the physical experience of our lives. So how much freedom can we have? As much as we can embody. And there, because it is natural and embedded in all of us, everybody is moving in that direction. It may be slouching towards Jerusalem. It may be staggering towards Jerusalem. It may be turning around and going the other way and then coming back again to get into moving into that direction. And yet, I have huge hope. One of the promises in what's not in those things that we read that we believe, it's in the parts of them we don't include because the whole thing is just too long, where it says, and everyone will get there. Everyone will find this freedom and experience it and live it in their lives. I don't know if that means in this life or the next life, but everyone is moving in that direction and has the potential, the possibility of having that kind of freedom. That includes you, and includes me. So I invite you, as you think about this day, this life, this place we're in, we're creating a whole new experience, a whole new world. There's no normal. I don't know if you noticed that yet, but there isn't. We're creating it. It's time to bring it forward in a whole new way. That means we have greater freedom to choose it than we've ever had, even though we're all stuck at home, or maybe not all of us, but many of us. But we're not stuck. I'm choosing to be at home. I'm choosing to make these things to care for myself. And it's given me the time to sink in and go deep and find that freedom within me and express it and experience it. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever group you're part of, however you identify yourself, you deserve all of the good of God. And it's available to you. I encourage you to continue to seek ways to bring the goodness into your experience and to honor it in other people. Because you're wonderful. Truly. And so am I. And so it is. Big breath, everybody. Thank you. And I welcome any responses, email or otherwise, to this. I want to engage this in a conversation with anyone who would like to do that. So I want to invite you, if you will, now to take a few moments to let this sink in. Take a few moments and breathe. Close your eyes if you like. Get comfortable as you take a deep breath and let it go. It is safe. It is spiritual. It is loving. To take a look at all the things that come up in your mind. There's the various ideas and thoughts and attitudes float into your life every day, into your mind, thousands of thoughts flying through all the time. You simply get to decide. That's for me. Oh, that's for me. Look how beautiful that person is. That's for me. Prosperity. That's for me. Health. That's for me. I don't understand, but I want to. That's for me. I'm simply allowing the other things that pass through, the things from race consciousness that really no longer serve you. Just allow them not to get any attention. The feeling of love for all the folks in this group, that's for me. The opportunities we all have to claim a better and bigger and louder voice of truth, that's for me. Standing with my brothers and sisters of color. That's for me. Standing with my brothers and sisters who are white, as we face and struggle with whatever may be going on regarding our reactions to what's happening in the world of awakened racism. Supporting one another as we heal. That's for me. And through it all, I declare by action of this treatment, there is that within me which has the wisdom of the ages, that is the wisdom of the infinite, far beyond the ages, the wisdom of infinite, unconditional, continuous, forever love, the wisdom of truth, of oneness, of recognition of how of our unity and unification, even in our differences, especially in our differences. The power and beauty of life unfolding, the amazing things that the human beings have created in this world. As I recognize all of that goodness, I go through my life declaring, that's for me. As things present themselves in my own mind, as they present themselves in my experience, I choose, that's for me. And as I do, and as I choose wisely and choose well, I feel the inner quiet, yes. The deep intuitive awareness that yes, that is for me. Because I'm an expression of the infinite. I'm an opportunity for God to be something unique and different that's never been before and that it's never shown up as. And I am owning and declaring, I am in this place, in this time frame, in order to bring and experience and express my particular gifts. and I allow them to awaken in me and as me and through me. I do this with freedom, with ease, and with grace. In gratitude, I let this be the truth of me, and so it is. Now let's hear from our wonderful David.
Good morning, Rev. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Rev, for that very powerful set of lessons, and courageous even. Very much appreciate it. As Rev said, my name is David Gibbs, and I am a member of your Board of Trustees. And as we continue to do our service online, we invite you to continue to contribute to our efforts by using the links on our website, PayPal, or simply by sending a good old-fashioned check to CSL Midtown. Address is Post Box 14303, Atlanta, Georgia, zip code 30324. Reverend Cynthia McCarthy has chatted that into the chat line for your remembrance. You can cut and paste it and save it somewhere where it'll be handy for you. There's also a link to contribute in the chat at the bottom of the page. Your generous contributions help us expand our reach to a wider group of people, bringing this message of peace, freedom, and health in this challenging time. And if you think about it, when is life not challenging? And let us carry it forward and pay it forward. And so thank you all of you who give so freely of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Please join me as we exercise our prosperity muscles in affirming our prosperity message, which you'll find on the screen. And even if you're on mute, you may affirm aloud. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Again, thank you. Thanks for joining us today. Here's what's up and coming. We are currently in the month of July, and our theme for July is Unchained Spirituality. I don't know about you, but that just sounds and feels good and feels right. You know, it speaks to the freedom in which Doug and both Rev expressed in their lessons today. And next week, our title for our lesson will be The Truth Will Set You Free, delivered by Reverend Cynthia McCarthy. As you all know, on Tuesdays at noon and Thursdays at 6 p.m. at this very same Zoom link, you can get your weekday spiritual boost. And you can find on the website and in the newsletter the same link to be able to access a middle of the week opportunity for us to connect and deepen our connection throughout the week. Also, I just wanted to mention, as you may be aware of, we have a new contribution system online, ACS Realm. It's up and running. It's very convenient. Michael Wagner can help you out if you need assistance, and he can be reached at mrwagoner, W-A-G-O-N-E-R, at msn.com. And at this moment, I'd like to recognize all of our practitioners. If they are on video, if they could give a little wave or chat their information into the chat box and feature. And these are the individuals who help give us guardrails that keep us on track in life spiritually. And we all can use a guardrail every now and then. And so please take advantage of what they have to offer and what they are willingly and gladly to give and share with you in assistance with a spiritual treatment and so forth. And also, thank you to all of our volunteers, those of you behind the scenes who make things happen, make things work, and that includes our Board of Trustees and any of them who are on video, if they could wave or chat a hello into the chat function. always good to know who you are and appreciate you. And with that, I will turn it back to the good Reverend, and thank you all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, David. I do want to let you know there has been some update on our return to in-person. That will not be happening now until the first of the year. But that's okay, David. You announced what you knew. That's fine. Yeah, these things are happening fast. As you know, the world is changing, and we just, you can't, you know, the old year days of a five-year plan, how about a five-minute plan? Is what we're doing now. So that's where we are. And we're really wanting to make sure we keep people safe so that when we do return in person, we can do that with our community intact for the most part. So that's coming later on. So we're going to move right on to our closing. I thank you all for being here. This has been a wonderful time. And if you will join me in the closing affirmation, which is right here on your screen. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you all. All right, we're not, we're still recording.